coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. I am your host, Kim Pagano, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to tune in with us here. Gosh, it's been an amazing day. We started over at the Health Expo in Simi Valley for Regal Medical, and then I ended up over at the Wellness Expo over there, where it's all about health. And actually, that's really where I'm going to take this show. So we are going to be talking about unconditional self and health empowerment. And Marsha Heimley and Sharon Savidson are in the studio. Welcome, ladies.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Good. All right. And my guest will be Stephen Eric Connor, and we're going to be discussing the 9 languages of love and communication. And I've talked with him. I've heard his talk before. You will love him. You will want to definitely tune in. Also, my guests in the studio today are Dr. Radfar and Dr. Haddad. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great. And we're going to be talking a little bit about good oral health and routine checkups. And you will find out more about how they are giving back. And it's a perfect time for Halloween. If you haven't noticed, we're talking to dentists here. They are in Thousand Oaks and also Oxnard, right?
That's correct.
And just an amazing couple. I haven't even got to really find out all the details, but stick around because they are doing great things. And you know, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I know that, I don't know about you or about everybody out there, but you never know if your choice for a health provider is a good one. And we all make choices. So we're going to find out a little bit more today. And I just thought I'd bring you some really great people. Also, we've got Nicole from Parent Click. She's going to come on and she's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening in Ventura County. And Brianna is sharing another family event on October 27th. We've got Ventura Family Fun Festival. And I want to give a shout out to Tina and to all the new people I met out there at Malibu Farms. It was a one-gun dinner. It overlooked the ocean last weekend. And oh my God, amazing food. Helena over there was just amazing. My husband and I had a great time. So when it comes around again, I want to invite all of you because it was just really good food, really good people. It was good. So also, I wanted to just do a little shout out to my son who just turned 18 and is representing the USA in Portugal for his racing. So, you know, just proud of him, and we've got a big trip ahead of us, so we're excited about that. And I just want to remind you that we all have choices, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Kim Pagano Show. Also, we are going to have some great giveaways. The phone number here is 805-419-0008, and you can leave me your name and your number and what prize you're calling about, or if it's easier, you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com and leave me your name and number and which giveaway that you are calling about. So I do want to say congratulations to Richard last week who won a test from our acupuncture, Roland. So congratulations, and we'll be getting in touch with you. So let's start our show right now, and let's bring Steve Eric Connor on. Steve, are you there?
I am here, and I'm glad to be here. How are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks.
Good. You know, I was so intrigued and interested in what we talked about when I first heard your talk, and I'm so glad that you were able to, you know, be a part of my show. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Wow, that's a big starting point right there. to try to keep it on the topic a little bit is that my passion in life has always been really to make a difference in other people's lives. And you know, I've went on that quest myself back many, many years ago and that journey, and I discovered something about 11 years ago that really all of what we do and who we are is how we communicate and what our perception and beliefs are.
So I notice here that you, this is Marcia, by the way, that you have the 9 languages of love and communication. Is that a book or is that a theory?
No, the 9 languages of love and communication is a workbook that I teach from. And it's based on the 9 personality types of the Enneagram. And let me back up just a second here. I was introduced to the Enneagram about 11 years ago. And at that time, I was a vice president of a national sales organization. And I was one of the trainers. So we were training people with 130 offices nationally. And I was asked to fly out to San Diego to a meeting to do some training. And when I got there, they said that none of you guys are going to train. We actually have a speaker that was recommended by Marriott that we flew in from San Francisco. And he's going to talk to us about the Enneagram. And my goodness, you could have heard a pin drop. And there were about 30 of us in the room. We went, the Ennea what? Well, so just in a nutshell, the Enneagram is 2,500 years old. It's 9 basic personality types of their human nature and their complex interrelationships, which is really powerfully accurate. It goes to the motivation behind the behavior. A lot of people are familiar with Myers-Briggs and DISC and a number of other assessments, and what I've discovered is that most of those are all behavioral-driven. So, I knew how I behaved. My quest was, who am I?
And we all want to know that. I mean, really, it doesn't matter how old you are. You kind of get to that point, who am I and where am I going, right?
Or you get to it over and over again throughout your life.
There you go. This is true. So I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that I'm so glad that you are here with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Stephen Eric Connor right now. We're talking about unconditional self-empowerment and the 9 languages of love and communication. So go ahead, and I'm so glad that you're talking about this.
Well, so in a nutshell, what it really is the Enneagram is, it really identifies our external behaviors, our underlying attitudes, one's characteristic sense of self, emotional reactions, and what we pay attention to. And so I walked out of that event, and I'll tell you, there's no secret to it. I was 42 years old. And it was like somebody introduced me to me for the first time in my life.
Wow. And what do you mean by that, Steve? What exactly does that mean?
Well, for example, I had I studied psychology in school, and I was really on the self-development quest of really trying to understand who I am. And everything that I've ever discovered was more about how I behaved, which really goes back to when we were children. You got good grades, bad grades, you're a good boy, bad boy, that type of thing. And what I wanted to know is, who are people, how are we, what's our makeup, and why do we do things that we do, as opposed to just trying to change a behavior? Let's go behind the behavior and see what the core of that is.
I love your motto. You want to tell us what it is?
Define yourself based on your vision, not your history. Change takes time, but a breakthrough happens in an instant.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Sounds good. You know, Stephen, you know that my show is all about adding value every day in every way. And so many of us get to a point in their life where they just, maybe they've gone down the wrong road, or maybe they think they're going down the right road, but it's so important to check in. And so tell us, how would we get started with the work that you do?
Well, it's in a nutshell, the way that the work that I explain is what I call, that's a great question, I call it the 3 levels of awareness. So if we look at that as a starting point, if I put my hand on my chest and I say, who am I for real? Not who does everybody on the show perceive me to be, or my friends or my family, but I really want to know, who's this guy on the inside here? That's level 1. Level 2 is, who are you? And here's the key to that. Without my opinion, without any bias and without any judgment, you just get to be you. And that in itself is liberating. Level 3 is, how do we connect? Because until we connect, we're really not communicating. We're simply taking turns talking. And the connection is, of these 9 personality types, all 9 of them distinctively speak their own communication language. And what's beautiful is that we all have all 9 types in us, but there's one that's kind of the core type, and I call that your auto type. We just default, and that's what lives with us.
So, what are the 9 types?
The 9 types. The type 1 is the reformer. which the reformer is, the perfectionist, the judge, the need to be perfect. They strive to, live up to the high ideals, and everything, no matter how orderly, can always be better. They're motivated by the desire to do the right thing.
I just have to, share with everybody is I actually took this test, and it's really hard because when you were saying when you were first speaking with all of us, we were like, oh, that's me. Okay, no, that's me. Because you really are a little bit of everything, right?
That's right.
And then you got to work through all that to really find out who you really authentically are, correct?
Exactly.
Right. So carry on.
And a lot of that will come out when we get to, where our real type stands out is when we are either stressed or anxious. And because we default to that, that's kind of our protection. And I like to use an analogy of a GPS. So, for example, if you have a GPS in your car and it says drive down to the fourth light and turn right. Well, if you saw a traffic accident out there and you decided to turn right at the next light, all your GPS is simply going to say is rerouting. You now became the operator of the car instead of the GPS taking you for a ride. And we all have an internal GPS, and if we're not paying attention, it just functions for its own survival.
Steve, this is Sharon. This sounds fascinating. It sounds a little bit like I give the E factor, which is an energy assessment of where you are energetically. And so there's 7 levels. The higher you move up the levels, the more you have access to the other levels. So I'll talk about this later, the emotional intelligence. When you are aware of what you're doing, then you can tap into one or the other, right?
Yes, you can. And what's fascinating, if you see the diagram of the Enneagram, and I'll just go through the 9 types without defining them all, but the type one is the reformer, the 2 is the helper, the type 3 is the achiever, the 4 is the individualist, the 5 is the investigator, the 6 is the loyalist, the 7 is the enthusiast, the 8 is the challenger, and the 9 is the peacemaker.
And I know everybody out there is like trying to write these down. I will put these on my website for you so that you can just go to kimpaganoshow.com so you can list them there. And I will let you know how to get in touch with Stephen also, because it really is an insight about yourself. So I just want you to.
So if we wanted to take this test, how could we access this? Do you have a website that we can go onto that we can take the test?
Yes, you can. It's actually I'm in the process of redoing a website, and I actually use what I call it's the Enneagram Institute. But when you go to their site, there's a myriad of different tests, and the one I have everybody take is it takes 10 minutes. It's free. There's 36 questions. I've had other people take the, they spend $10 or $15 and take the 144 questions, and 99% of the time they come out with the same result.
Right. I'll have you post that on my website, Stephen.
So once you figure out what your dominant trait is, or whatever you would call it, then what?
Well, now when you look at the diagram in itself, and this is where it can get be a little more complex, is that whatever, I'm a type 2, which is a helper. So whatever type you come out to be, the number that is before and after your type, the Enneagram calls that a wing. So, in other words, I have the 1 wing and the 3 wings, like a left arm and a right arm. So I'm going to come across in my helper, that's my dominant type, but I can catch me in the act of actually being the achiever and being the reformer at times. And then what's fascinating is there's 2 lines that are inside the circle that come off of each number of each type. One of them you go to in stress, and the other one you go to in security. But what this really has done, and the way that I teach is I have a workbook that's about 115 pages. It's is that when you see this, it's like a map. I can clearly see how I physiologically, emotionally, and mentally respond to every stimulus or everything that's happening, but I now get a chance to see it before I have to react or I get involved in it.
Wow, so make a conscious choice about how you actually want to use it.
Absolutely. You get to be in charge of you now, which is what we all really desire to be anyway, is to make healthy decisions for ourselves.
Stephen, this is Dr. Radfar. I had a question. Every time I meet a new patient of mine, I always kind of try to assess their personality type. It actually helps me better get along with the patient. Do you see definitions of this kind of helping not only understanding yourself, but also better understanding your patients, clients, your own family members, your significant other.
Yeah, it can help in any way, really.
Yeah.
I think the
answer to that question is absolutely. For example, I mentioned just a brief description of the reformer. So if I'm working with a client in my coaching business, or if I'm talking with anybody in general, the reformer, their basic desire is to be right. Their basic fear is being wrong. So if I'm speaking with somebody like that and they share an idea with me and I say, you know, I don't agree with that. I just made them wrong and I just disconnected from that relationship right there, that conversation. The way that I would communicate with the reformer, say, you know, I like where you're at right now, but I ask them what if questions. What if you looked at it this way? So if they like my idea, what's really, I'm reflecting themselves back upon them. If they like that idea, they can adapt the idea and make it their own because I never made them wrong.
I love it.
Stephen, that makes
sense. The loyalist has a high need for security. So if I'm talking with the loyalist and I start to see them get a little anxious, I might ask a question. So what would make that safer for you?
Wow. Go ahead.
I'm speaking their language.
Stephen, that makes a lot of sense. This is Dr. Haddad. And to follow up on Dr. Radfar's question, in instances where you don't have the luxury of knowing somebody and knowing which person they are there any, you know, simple cues that somebody can ask right away to be able to tell which person they're dealing with, especially if you're in a situation where you only have about 5 minutes to figure somebody out?
Yes, because each one, again, has a communication language. As I said, the communication style with the reformer would be, you know, moralizing, preaching, teaching, judging, lecturing, because they want to be right. The helper would be more complimenting, advising. They listen. They're more empathetic. The achiever is going to, you know, come across more self-promoting, inspiring, persuading. So in my workshops I do, and then also in my workbook and what I teach us, is what to look for and kind of buzzwords. To put that in perspective, I had a workshop here a couple of years ago in Phoenix, and a lady came up to me a week afterwards because she couldn't make it, and she said, okay, Mr. Communication Guy, what type am I? I saw her at a networking event, and I said, well, talk to me for a minute. She talked to me for 5 minutes, and I said, you sound like an enthusiast, which is the type 7. And she went, we'll see, and then she just left. And I thought, okay, well, that was a quick conversation. That night, I got an email that, now keep in mind, I said the enthusiast. This is what the email said. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I can't believe that you knew that I was an enthusiast.
So since we all know you can only change yourself and you can't change anybody else,
yes.
Once you find out what you are, can you change it at all?
Or do you have to live with who you are? Is that scary?
Well,
I love it.
Well, great question. Once you find out what you are, it evolves. For example, I'll go through each of the 9 types. And I'll cover the healthy, what I call the autotype, and the unhealthy. Again, we'll kind of pick on the reformer since I've spoken on that one the most. A healthy reformer is going to be more wise, discerning, rational, principled, and objective. When they're just in their autotype, where this, you know, it's kind of like that system that runs itself, and for an easier way of explaining that is, you know, if you think about how many times in a day do you remind yourself to breathe? You don't have to. It just does. Your heart beats. Everything in your internal body functions on its automatically.
So
when you were a baby, when the umbilical cord was cut, if God said, you know, that little girl's on her own. I gave her everything she needs, but she's a baby right now, so I'm going to flip on everything on autopilot until she awakens to see how this all functions, and then she can take over this operating system.
I love it. And if anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And our show is all about unconditional self and health empowerment. We're talking right now to Stephen Eric Connor. And we're talking about the 9 languages of love and communication. And this is so interesting. You know, I heard you talk a little bit about success circles, which tell us a little bit about that. What it's the 5 most influential people in your life?
Yes. You know, this is a lot of fun. If you just stop and think for a moment, and I have 2 circles in my workbook, one for personal and one for professional, then who are the 5 most influential people in your life? In other words, who do you spend the most of your time and or thoughts with?
Wow.
And here's a key question. What are they doing to you? Because they're influencing you. And we all influence. Every one of us on this call right now has probably been to a movie that we enjoyed, and we had to tell somebody, oh, my God, you've got to see that movie. That's influence. Hmm. So when we look at that five most influential people, ask yourself what they're doing to you. Now, when I heard something similar to that 25 years ago, Jim Rohn, the old philosopher, said something along the line, the five people you spend most of your time with, you know, 5 years from now, you become the sum total of who they are. And I thought, oh, my God, he's out, she's out, and he ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
And my five, I had three people that were on them in my five were going in a different direction. And to show you how powerful the five is, T-Mobile made millions on that. Who's in your fave five?
Wow. You know, so do you have to look at and make sure that they're positive people that are influence you in the right direction?
Well, and you can even influence that. Yes, I would say you want to be around people that are going to be more empowering, obviously, than disempowering. But the way I communicate with them can create and develop that into an empowering relationship as opposed to me sitting back and waiting for them to be empowered.
Unbelievable.
So it goes back to what I say is that, you know, is someone an energy gain or an energy drain? And when you go through your values or what it is that the path that you're moving towards, are these people enhancing your path? You know, we were speaking about this last week about health.
Yes.
So are you moving towards your health or is the situation draining your health?
Definitely.
And checking in.
We talk about this all the time is you really need to check in with your life to make sure that you're on the right road and that you have the courage if you're not to evaluate it.
And I think it's important to know what you're checking into.
Yeah,
and
that's a great point.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are, if we look around and just observe, is we're all human beings, but most people
right.
are simply human doings.
Right.
They're just doing their life.
And go ahead.
And let me come back on that one last part of that five influential people.
Please.
Is that if you really want to take it full circle, I ask you to look at who's in your circle, but if you want to really get healthy with it, whose list might you be on, and how are you influencing, and what are you doing to them?
Oh, great. Okay, now you're getting down to the nitty-gritty there.
How do
I
you
like
show
it.
Up? How are you leading yourself and others?
Right, and are you an influence in somebody else's life, a positive or a negative? I mean, really, that's what you're saying, right, Stephen?
Yes, and we're always, I think it's almost impossible not to influence
right.
in some kind of way. The key is there's a positive.
There you go.
Is it healthy?
I love where you're going with this. What advice could you leave my listeners with? And, you know, I'm going to have you back because I was so intrigued with what we talked about.
Well, I I'd love to come back. And, you know, one of the things I shared is I also do, I post what I refer to as my positive message out on Facebook every morning. I'm up about 4:30. And it's something that hit me a few days ago. And if you think about this, it's a little deep for some, but what you believe, you perceive. What you perceive is imagined. What you imagine is influenced by what you believe. So the first step to creating your best life is to understand the unique manner in which you internally communicate your reality.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
I know. Yeah, one more time for us.
All right. What you believe, you perceive. What you perceive is imagined. What you imagine is influenced by what you believe. The first step in creating your best life is to understand the unique manner in which you internally communicate your reality.
Hmm, that's pretty deep right there.
So whatever story you're telling yourself, that will become your reality.
That's your story.
Oh, so...
And, you know, one of the things I learned when I went to coaching school, the very first day, they said, I want you everybody to pair up, and I want you to... share with the other person, tell them your story. And oh my God, I went, well, I was born a country boy in Ohio. I went all the way back to my childhood, right? And so did the other person. And then they asked us to look up to the front of the room. They said, okay, now, I want you to understand that your story more oftentimes disempowers you as opposed to empowers you. So I'd like you to pair up again, introduce yourself to that person, only this time without your story.
But I thought that everybody has a story. I thought that's supposed to help you. So it has to be a good one, right?
Well, yeah, the story, and really, if I, what I like to refer to it as kind of an out-of-body experience, if you will. So if I had a client that was literally over in Simi Valley that I was talking on the phone, and I said, where are you at right now? And she said, sitting on the chair in my family room. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to almost have an out-of-body experience. Don't move. But I want you to spiritually or you know, go to the other side of the room and turn around and look at yourself sitting there in the chair on the phone talking to me. What is it that you would want yourself to know, or what is it that you would spiritually want to say to yourself?
Hmm, unbelievable. And so how did it work out?
It's mind-blowing. The things I was trying to show her in that breakthrough moment, she saw it without me having to share it. And the way that I coach, I use this metaphor that I'm simply a light on the pathway. It's not my journey, it's yours. But if your pathway were like a sidewalk going through a park and it was dark outside, if I shine a bright light 3 feet in front of you, just to make sure that you turn when the sidewalk does its curve, it'll keep you from stepping into a dark spot and keep you on the pathway. I'm simply the light. I showed a light on her for her to see herself, which was more empowering for her to see it than to me to then talk to that, as opposed to me to tell her what it was I saw.
Hmm.
Stephen, I had one question. With respect to all the people that are listening, or the ones who don't, what do you say to the cynics who, you know, can just hear this and think, well, you know, I live my life the way I live it, and, you know, this is all not going to help me, or... You know, the ones that obviously the ones that are into empowering,
yeah.
You know, open-minded people, they're going to be very open to going on there and doing the test and bettering their lives and their relationships and connections with others. But then how do you convert the ones that are the cynics? What would you tell them?
If you're as happy and as healthy as you want to be, then maybe you don't need to take a look at that. If you could possibly be a little bit happier and healthier and a better communicator in your life, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
And I think it's also about planting the seed. You know, they may not change straight away. And usually people change or shift when it's something no longer works for them. Because on some level, if they're doing whatever they're doing, it's working for them. Even though they might be, their words may be saying it's not working. But if they're still doing it, at some level, it is working for them. So when you plant the seed, eventually, you know, when they're ready to shift, because I think we're all exactly where we're meant to be at any given time.
I definitely agree with that. You know, and we have to sometimes, you know, look at our story and really see if we're being authentic, because sometimes we're telling somebody else's story. Yeah.
Then we become a surrogate of our own lives where, you know, we're living it through someone else. But, you know, if I have just maybe a moment, I want to just show you an example of what people can see in this if they want to determine whether or not this was for them or not.
Sure.
Is I'm a helper, which let me define what that is, and I'll tell you, point out two things, and I want you to see where I'm going. The helper is the giver. They're nurturing. They're considerate. They have a need to be needed. They're sensitive to meet the needs of others, and they're motivated to meet those needs. So the basic desire for a helper is to be loved and needed. The basic fear is being unloved and unwanted. So when the helper is in a healthy place, they're self-disinterested, empathetic, caring, generous, serving, and nurturing. When they're unhealthy, they become self-deceptive, manipulative, dominating, and have a victimized behavior. So even though I teach this, I still have what I refer to as an auto type, just like everybody else. But so something happened to me, happened in my space here a few weeks ago, and I saw myself react to it. I felt the energy shift, and it was almost as though I caught myself saying, I can't believe they would do that. I would never do that. And I went, wait, cancel thought. That sounds like a victim. I caught myself going to the unhealthy, so therefore I could release that without it becoming part of who I am and make a conscious choice to not be unhealthy but to be healthy.
Wow. And, you know, I'm sure, and that's just one of them. That's just, that is number one, correct?
Yeah, that was the helper. That's just, you know, in my workbook, I like, for example, in that example, I covered four basic things on that type two.
Right.
In my workbook, I drill it down between 25 and 30 things. So you're going to see a consistency. message where I talk about guidelines on how to interact with each type, the basic unconscious thoughts, how to get along, what's enjoyable, what's challenging, the sexual and intimate nature. I mean, we can go into multiple directions to where I've done trainings for Blue Cross Blue Shield to the Apollo Group on their senior management team to relationship coaching to also working with teenagers.
So how would somebody get your pamphlet?
Well, if they want to, you know, I don't know if you want to have, Kim, if you want to have them just, you know, email you for that.
Or absolutely. Yeah, let's
do
that.
Do you have a website?
Well, you know what? And well, he doesn't yet. But what I know you're giving away a bonus to my listeners, correct?
That's correct.
What is that? Let's get everybody excited about that.
Okay. So if they get you their email address, then you can send it to me. And then I will send them, you know, provide them that link, or I can get that to you and you can get one of the steps. But once they get the results, and literally it only takes 10 minutes, is that for every person that is listening right now, is that I will give them a complimentary 15-20-minute debriefing on what those results mean to them. And because they're listening to the show, if they're interested in working with me to go any deeper than that, then I will give them a 15% discount on my signature coaching program.
Wow. Okay, everybody. This is a big one. For anybody that is just tuning in right now, that is you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Stephen Eric Connor, and we're talking about really learning your characteristics of who you really are. And there's a test that you can take. Again, what is the name of the test? It's the Enneagram?
It's the Enneagram.
Right.
Enneagram. And
okay.
I want to say one more thing on that, too, to show you how empowering this is. I've been a full-time single dad for 15 years, and my daughter's now 23. I taught her when she was 16. My son is now 17. My son, I heard him talking to one of his buddies when he was 14 years old, and somebody said, you know, Brandon, what's your dad do? And he said, well, I don't know. He just talks to people. And I thought, come on, man. It's a little more than that. And so I invited him to my work, one of my 90-minute workshops, right? Here's a 14-year-old that's just getting into high school. And in a 90-minute workshop, we finished and got back in the car. And I said, so, hey, dude, so what do you think about what Dad does now? And he put his hand on his chin and he said, I think my mom is a loyalist, a type 6.
Ah, I love it. I love it. You know what? This is so important for us to learn this. And, you know, the early or, you know, as soon as you can. So I want to, you know, make sure that everybody knows about this so they can take advantage of this. All you have to do is email me at kim@kimpaganoshow. Tell me that you're interested in taking the test with Stephen Eric Connor, and I will get that information to him, and he will get in touch with you. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. I'm definitely going to have you back. We're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Dar Radfar and Dr. Georgia Haddad. So we're going to be talking about dentists and how they're giving back to our community. It's so important. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We'll be right back. Thank you, Stephen.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair. And I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair. And she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520
KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And we are talking about unconditional self and health empowerment. And got amazing guest, Stephen Eric Connor, and the 9 languages of love and communication, and trying to figure out what type you are. It was kind of interesting, huh? Everybody, I could see everybody's eyes going, okay, that kind of pegs me. Okay, that, you know. And it was when I did that, when he was talking, the first time when I heard him, I just was like, I'm a little of that, I'm a little of that. And it's interesting when you really do take the test. So if anybody out there is interested in taking that test, just email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com, and I will definitely be able to get in touch with you and you know, get you that test. So right now I'd love to bring on my next guest, husband and wife. They're both dentists here in Thousand Oaks and Oxnard. And you guys, I mean, perfect time for Halloween. They brought in a little wanted your Halloween candy, and you're going to pay, what, $1 per pound? Tell us a little bit about yourselves, and thank you so much for being a part of my show.
Thank you, Kim, for having us. Yeah, we have 2 practices, one in Thousand Oaks and one in Oxnard, and we've been doing dentistry for over 10 years, and we made a commitment 10 years ago to dentistry, and after about a decade or so, we're now making a little bit more of a commitment to the community. We were basically interested in buying all the candy back from all the kids.
Not to eat it, right?
Not to eat it.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
We're actually going to be buying it back November 1st in our Thousand Oaks office, and then November 2nd in our Oxnard office. You can go to 805dentistry.com to get some information about that. And what we're doing with the money is we're giving it to the kids first in the community, $1 per pound, and then whatever candy we collect, we're sending the candy to the troops. There's a program that sends it overseas to different areas, not just Middle East, but all over the place.
Well, I want to say thank you right off the bat. I mean, to me, that's somebody that, you know, I want to do business with. That's what I love. That's why one of the reasons I wanted to invite you on, because it really takes a community to help. You know, and my favorite saying is many hands make little work.
Very true.
Yeah, so we all can do our little part that we, you know, we need to.
So as a parent of 3 kids and 2 the now that have gone off to college, I got to tell you, I have always done this, but we didn't pay our kids. What I always did, and this is a great suggestion, is the night of Halloween, I let them eat what they wanted to and made them brush their teeth for a long time.
Right.
But let them eat what they wanted to. Then that night, they could also pick 10 pieces of candy. They could keep 10. Everything else, we gave it to an orphanage. Everything else had to go. And, you know, when you start that when the kids are young and they know it's coming, it's not so hard.
Right.
You know, I said, nobody needs this much candy. And frankly, I don't need that much candy. If it's there, I'll end up eating it. So pick your 10 favorite things. And it became a game in our house.
We have like a little swap meet, you know, all the Tootsie Rolls go in one pile, all the, you know, Abba Zabbas. Mom likes these, dad likes these. Okay, everybody. And then whatever after that, kind of the same thing. We just donated out.
And I can tell you, I mean, we have 2 kids of our own, and we kind of do the same thing. They can eat whatever they want that night.
Oh, so we're on the same line. Okay.
And then we take all the candy away and we give it away as well. So it's okay, I think.
And you know what's funny? Because my kids never eat the 10 pieces I let them keep.
Of course.
It's like a month later, I'm like, that's it. You haven't eaten them. Goodbye.
Yeah, so my kids also will keep it. And then, you know, down the line, it's not like they eat everything straight away. They kind of hold on to it and either throw it out or...
Right. So, okay. So you're going to, all the kids are able to go in and give back their candy, and then you're going to donate the money, correct?
Yes. We're going to donate the candy to the troops. We're also... This is Halloween, and it's, you know, special and fun for the kids and even adults. But in the holiday time before Christmas and Hanukkah, we're also doing a food drive, which you guys can go on our website and hear about in the future. And the food drive is basically, and we'd like to extend it to the listeners, is we do a promotion for patients to come in. They bring a can of food, and the food gets donated to a food bank. Usually we donate either to a local food bank or somewhere also, a bigger organization like the some shelters in downtown L.A. That both Dr. Haddad and I have actually volunteered at in the past doing dentistry. So we've made
some. But not only that, you've also made another giving contribution too, right? For $39,
right.
Correct? If
That's
anybody's
correct.
Lost their insurance
right.
or if they don't have insurance.
Right.
I mean, it's so important to have your teeth taken care of.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the main reason why I wanted to come here and talk was how important routine dental checkups are. People overlook it because, unfortunately, people do lose insurance, or we get busy, or, you know, kids, family, everything keeps us occupied. And the routine dental appointment, typically every 6 months, sometimes a little bit more frequently, does involve a lot more than what most people think of just getting my teeth clean and making sure hopefully I don't have any cavities. There's a lot of things that are involved that include the TMJ, which is the jaw joint. It includes oral cancer screening. 20% of oral cancers today are people who don't smoke. In America, one person every hour is diagnosed with oral cancer. And so that's become an epidemic. There's other avenues of sleep apnea. There's the connection between gingivitis and gum disease to heart disease. There's so many things today that's just beyond getting your teeth cleaned and your teeth checked that are important. And it's important for your dentist to, you know, educate you on that and to check you to make sure everything's okay.
And I think also when you show up and you lead your children and you set the example for your children to have regular checkups, and they see that you're taking care of your teeth and yourself, you know, that sets the example for them to follow.
They grow up with good habits, I agree.
Right. Now, how important is it to floss?
It's probably the most important thing for me.
Whenever
I get that question from patients where they ask me, do I brush or do I floss? And for me, I always feel like if you had a choice, which of course we would never be given just that choice, but I would actually choose flossing, because in my opinion and what I see in practice is more cavities in between the teeth that can be prevented with flossing. If you technically, I'm not promoting this, but if you even get your finger and clean around your teeth, then and rinse out, you can get a lot of plaque out of the teeth, but there's no way that you can get in between the teeth without floss. So the general protocol is you always want to floss first and then brush. Use a floss that isn't necessarily very thick and whatnot. Glide, one of those really nice thin ones, are really good. And you know, you go in between the teeth and then you brush for your 2 minutes, or you want to use like a Sonicare or an Oral-B toothbrush. So,
and I know this sounds super simple, but my kids wouldn't floss until I got mint flavored floss.
And once I did, you're right.
It was fine.
Nowadays they got bubblegum flavored, mint
flavored. Oh, really?
Lot easier. But the key ingredient is a lot of people that I meet for the first time are flossing after. I mean, it's such a small difference. You remove the food that's stuck between your teeth, then you brush with the fluoride in the toothpaste or any sort of tartar control that can actually get in between the teeth now that you removed the piece of chicken that was stuck in there, right? And so therefore, then you can actually protect the in-between surfaces. So that simple step makes such a big difference in preventing cavities underneath your existing restorations or just natural teeth.
And my kid's dentist would say, just floss the teeth you want to keep.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking about unconditional self and health empowerment. And in our studio today as our guests, we have Dr. Radfar and Dr. Haddad, and they are dentists, both of them, and they're giving us some tips on how we can keep our teeth and how we can actually, you know, just take care of our bodies. I mean, there's so many things that are connected to our teeth that you, when you're taking care of your teeth, you're actually taking care of your body, right?
Absolutely. They are so connected. It's completely vascular, which means that, you know, they're connected with your blood system and it's going through your body. I wanted to kind of add a little bit more also to what Dr. Radfar said earlier. I get the question of, Doc, when should I floss? And I get a lot of people who floss in the morning or brush in the morning only. And sure, that would be great. If you can do it after every meal, that's wonderful. But it's the nighttime that really makes a difference in your longevity of the teeth.
Oh, so not in the morning when
not
you're doing it.
Not in the morning. Oh. I mean, you could do it in the morning. But.
Brush in the morning, but flossing.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I do brush in the morning.
Yeah.
But I floss in the morning and I don't at night. So maybe I need to do both, right?
Otherwise, the food's sticking there all night long.
Yeah. Yep. No, I always rinse my mouth. Is that, you know,
because
I always heard if you kind of rinse, if you any sugar or anything, you know, to rinse your mouth out. But tell us what one, well, you know, we'll get back to that. But so what are some of the signs of gum disease and how can we treat it?
Yeah, gum disease is basically if you got, you use floss for the first time in a long time, your gums are bleeding, or you're brushing, your gums are bleeding, or you just taste bacteria in your mouth sometimes. And it's not just in the morning when everyone gets up. That's a sign that there's some gum disease going on. The teeth are loosening, there's sensitivity to cold more often than not. These are all risk factors and kind of makes your body aware of, okay, there's something going on. Now, gum disease can be very silent. That's the problem. Most people don't know that they have it until something does occur, such as tooth mobility or the teeth are shifting. The major thing that a lot of people don't know about gum disease is the connection to the overall health of the individual. If someone hasn't had a cleaning within a year, their risks of heart disease and stroke go up 23%. That's from the American Heart Association. That's information.
And considering especially women, more people die of heart disease than anything else.
Yep, absolutely.
Both men and women. Yep. And women think it's breast cancer. It's really heart disease.
Right, so. Right. And the other connections are actually with gum disease patients that are not treated or taken care of are stroke, diabetes. Now there's connections to kidney disease, Alzheimer's. I actually had a patient, you know, people say, well, should I just go twice a year to the dentist? Well, not really. Some people need to go 3 or 4 times a year. And I get some resistance from some patients. Well, doc, I only want to come twice a year. That's what my insurance covers. Well, it's, you know, some people have the necessity to come 3 or 4 times a year.
Well, how often should you have your teeth cleaned?
Definitely minimum twice a year.
Okay,
we
so
do have about,
6 months.
I would say, 25% of our patients.
Yeah, we do have a lot of patients that, you know, come in 3 to 4 times a year. And now, you know, those are the patients that are at higher risk of gum disease. You know, when you have everything and everything is looking good, then 6 months is your key. But sometimes to keep everything in control and to keep the inflammation of the disease under control, then you need to come in every 3 months or 4 months.
My mother-in-law has some implants, and she goes 4 times a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the biggest things, a personal story from a patient, he was really resilient, didn't want to come in every three or four months. And 2 years after I kind of was on him, I was really, really trying to touch him and have him come in. He got on the list at a local hospital for a kidney transplant, and he comes in and has a signature page for me from his medical doctor from the hospital requesting medical records that he was coming in on an every 3 or 4 month basis. Otherwise, they would not allow him to perform, have the surgery performed. I mean, that was I was blown away by that.
Yeah.
So it's a very big connection to the overall body. It's not a holistic approach. This is straight science that the American Medical Association, dental associations are working together.
So I have a couple texts of things that, is there a certain dent toothpaste that we should be using?
I would say anything that has the ADA seal on the back of it and contains fluoride. And I don't recommend anything that has whitening in it because
really,
as much as people think that does anything, unfortunately, it does not.
So it's a waste or it's bad for
you? It's just very abrasive. And, you know, the only way that you can technically whiten your teeth, the Crest White strips work. They will take a little longer. But to come in and get whitening trays done or do the Zoom whitening or... But I do have a lot of patients who use that. And what actually ends up happening is you will erode away at your enamel if you're consistently using it, which is causing more damage, I believe.
Yeah, Colgate Total is one of the basic ones that's ADA approved. We don't endorse a certain toothpaste, but whenever you go to the, you know, your local Costco or wherever else, you just look at the ADAs. As long as the ADA stamp on there, that means whatever they say on the tube does what it's supposed to do without causing any harm.
Now, here's another question. X-rays. Okay. So many times, you know, you go in for your examination and you have to have another X-ray. Now they're all, they're
more digital.
Digital.
Now,
does that mean that they don't hurt you?
Excellent question.
Thank you.
Digital X-rays are a newer phenomenon. Not every dental office has incorporated digital X-rays. One of the main reasons why we got it is We are also concerned about radiation. We're there every day.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you would think
as practitioners
that.
And my assistants are there every day. So one of the things that's very important, Dr. Sanjay Gupta actually came out with a report on CNN a few months ago, and we got an influx of requests of questions about x-rays once that report came out, that dental x-rays can lead to brain cancer. Mm. And all the research that was portrayed was actually very accurate, but it was a 25-year plus study on old type of x-ray films that required what we call 90 kbp type of energy output. Digital x-rays are about 8 kbp. So when you come to a dentist, you come to us and we take your checkup x-rays, how much radiation do you really get, right? Does anybody even know that? Well,
no.
The actual answer is you get the radiation to 11.2 minutes of sun exposure at sea level. Mm. So if you think about it, it's really every 6 months is really not that high because of the component of digital x-rays, where before it was 85% more radiation with regular films. So today we've, thank God for the advancement in technology, it's a lot easier because the x-rays are important. We got to take a look under the gums. We got to see if there's any, God forbid, cancers growing in the jaw even.
So is that the reason for the x-rays every single time?
The x-rays every single time are really a reason to check the bone level, check to see if there's any tumors or any sort of oral cancers that are occurring in the jaw. Of course, see in between the teeth. We cannot see in between the teeth to see if there's any cavities because most of us, unfortunately, don't floss, but we will after today, right?
Yes, and at night.
And the goal is if you did have something, a cavity that was starting in between your teeth, say, on January 1st, that, you know, you miss your x-ray December 31st, and then you're getting it 6 months later, then you've just gone an entire year of letting that cavity grow, where you could have caught it the day before, fixed it, and not gone an additional 6 months where it potentially could reach your nerve, end up in root canals, more treatment that needs to be done to solve this little problem.
I have two questions. One, what about soda? My kids have never drank soda, and none of them have ever had a cavity, and they're 18, 18, and 17.
Perfect question. I was hoping one of you would ask that. I have kids, too. They've never had soda, and they probably never will. And there was a couple of studies that came out a few years ago that kind of evaluated the acidic content in certain foods, and I was personally shocked. And soda is obviously one of them, and a lot of people don't drink soda, but there are so many other drinks that make your mouth so acidic and more susceptible to this disease of cavities. I'm going to name names, but, you know, some of the very popular energy drinks, those are very much up there. Some very fruity iced teas, and that was actually a big shocker to me, is I thought, well, if I drink certain iced teas, even though they're diet, then I'm really okay. And the answer is no, and I know patients who drink one a day.
And also, people think diet soda is better than regular soda. Well, the sugar is not there, but the acidity level, what we call pH of 2.4. What does that mean? Well, water is 7, and pH 2.4 means it's really acidic. And so diet soda is still just as acidic as regular soda. And so the acid really kind of burns and eats away at the enamel. And that's what we have to watch for in anything. And putting yourself in your body in a basic, less acidic state is really healthy for all types of
diseases
and whatnot.
Wow.
Okay, my other question is, you see all these people with tongue piercings. That cannot be good for your teeth.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not. Yeah, it actually, I've heard that it chips away.
Yeah,
we've both fixed
tons of teeth, cracks, chips. And then usually by the second or third fix, the tongue ring is hopefully removed.
Wow.
You know, can we go back to the x-rays? Is that what I've noticed at my dentist is he now has a protective shield that covers the neck for the thyroid.
Definitely.
So,
you know what? We're going to have to take a really quick break. I'm going to keep you guys on for a little bit longer. I'm so excited that you're here. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Dr. Radfar and Dr. Haddad. They have their practices in Thousand Oaks and also Oxnard. We're talking about our health. We're talking about our teeth. Once you lose them, you don't get them back. So we're trying to add value in trying to figure out what we can do to ourselves, the little extra steps that we need to take. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We'll be right back.